Romans 14, 1 through 12, we're in a series in Romans. It says this: accept other believers who are weak in faith, and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. For instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything, right? But another believer with a sensitive conscience will only eat vegetables. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn someone else's servants? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall. And with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive His approval. There's some cool stuff in the Bible, isn't there? The whole vegan meat eater war has been going on for a long time. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. When you read the word like weaker, you know, brother or sister, you know, I'm gonna classify that as vegans. And the stronger in the faith, brother and sister, that's the meat eaters, because I eat meat, okay? And I want to be strong, all right? Not funny. Not funny, right? Okay, whatever. Whatever. Well, I think it's funny that this stuff is in Scripture, and this verse specifically, these verses are just, it's just awesome that they're there. And right when I read them, I instantly thought of this video, which I don't know if you've seen that before, but I was just dying laughing because I have friends on the vegan spectrum that talk just like that to me as I'm eating a burger. Come on, man, just let me enjoy my food. Okay? I'm not griping about your salad, all right? So it just really painted this beautiful, funny picture. But then that's also within Scripture. So why is that within Scripture? You know, some of this stuff comes out of left field, especially if you're not versed within Bible stuff. If you don't read, you don't know what's in there. So way back in the day, when the Jews were rescued from captivity, they were freed from slavery in Egypt, right? This whole nation, God went and grabbed his star player Moses at that point, and Moses and Aaron went and freed these Egyptians. Freed the Israelites from the Egyptians. And so once they freed this entire group of people from slavery, then they were like, well, what do? We need rules set down. And because God was the one that instituted their freedom, God said, this is how it's going to go down. And if you read in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, which if you're new to the Bible, I wouldn't suggest starting there, okay? Because it's a whole lot of don'ts. And they just talk about all these different foods that you can't eat, or this nation could not eat. It involved things like pigs, couldn't eat pork. That's sad, right? You couldn't eat shellfish. That's sad, right? Those are my two great loves, bacon-wrapped shellfish. I just eat the shell and all. I mean, if it's wrapped in bacon, you don't have time to crack things, okay? You just eat. But you have all these list of rules, and if you want to read it, it's in Leviticus 11, 1 through 45. There's 45 chapters of what you can and can't eat. Awesome. Leviticus and Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 14, verses 3 through 21. Deuteronomy kind of sums it up a little more. Again, what you can and can't eat. So what happens is this whole system that we know of, this whole system that Paul is talking about, is this new system under who? I heard the Sunday school answer and it was correct. Jesus, yes. So Jesus comes to the scene after many years of Israelites and just God. And Jesus comes to the scene and he acts as a sacrifice, okay? Because prior to Jesus, the way in which we got right with God was to sacrifice animals. We would even offer our vegetables and our fruits, you know, the first fruits, the first givings, the best of the best. We couldn't offer defective lambs or rams or anything like that. We had to offer our best to God. And what we would do is we would have this giant altar and we would go slit throats of the vegetables and the animals and we would burn them up as a sacrifice to God. So Jesus comes in and Jesus takes our place. It wasn't any less violent in the way in which Jesus was slaughtered and sacrificed and put up for our sins to make us in right being with God. It wasn't any less violent because Jesus was put to death for us. Well, when Jesus was on the scene, Jesus actually had some talks with some religious folks, those who thought they were strong in the faith. And they were asking about the cleanliness and the uncleanliness of certain foods and practices. And this is what Jesus had to say. Jesus kind of just blows this whole system out of the water. And in Mark 7, 15 through 19, Jesus says this. "All of you listen," he said, "and try to understand it's not what goes into your body that defiles you. You were defiled by what comes out of your heart." Then Jesus went into the house to get away from the crowd, these people that thought they were strong in the faith and knew better, and his disciples asked him what he meant by the parable he had just used. And Jesus said, "Don't you understand either?" he asked. "Can't you see that the food you put into your body cannot defile you? Food doesn't go into your heart, but only passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer." By saying this, he declared that every kind of food is acceptable in God's eyes. Now, Jesus was going head-to-head with these rules that were put in place by God of what you can and can't eat. But Jesus could do that because he is God. Okay? So Jesus goes head-to-head, and he just throws this door open to all these incredible foods. Pork-wrapped shellfish. And I'm sure they all ran out, and that's what they had to eat for their first meal. But people are having a hard time, and they're bristling with this, and they're like, "I don't know, Jesus, that sounds kind of crazy, because you're going against years and years and years of tradition." And Jesus says, "You just got to listen to me. It's what comes out of you." Peter even had a hard time with this. You saw in Acts, Peter was having this dream, this vision, and in this dream was all of these foods. Sounds like my kind of dream. Yeah, ice cream. Bacon ice cream, okay? This beautiful dream. Peter's having this dream about all these different foods. And the sheet drops, and God declares all of this stuff clean to Peter, even after Jesus already did. Peter was still struggling with this issue of, is the food good to eat? Can I eat it? Should I eat it? Should I not eat it? And this vision came just in time that, hey, you know what? These foods I've given you are good. They're okay. It's what comes out of your heart. It's what comes out of you that's wrong. So Peter then has this vision, and then this vision actually played into a greater vision where he was supposed to go into a Gentile's house to eat. Well, you didn't eat with Gentiles. Gentiles were somebody who were unclean people. They were someone who were not Jewish. They were someone who ate things that were like meat. And so Peter has this vision, and then all of a sudden this vision starts to play out as to why he had this vision, why he was supposed to be okay with eating meat, and it was because of this person that he was supposed to be meeting with who didn't share the same views and opinions of this, but Peter was supposed to go love these people and deliver a message to these people from God, and it had to do with putting down this tradition, this disputable matter of whether meat was good or meat was bad, right? So you have this word from Jesus, and he totally changes the system. You have Peter, who doesn't figure it out. And then you have us today. We kind of have the vegan argument. We have the meat-eating argument. We have disputable matters within the church. What is your idea of a disputable matter in the church today? This could be just opening a giant can of worms. Baptism by sprinkle or immersion? Dancing. Dancing movies? Okay. Dancing. Movies. Movie ratings, right? Young Earth, Old Earth. Homosexuality. Say that. Pre-post, mid-trip. Yeah. Do you guys understand what all these words are meaning? Okay. Because I don't. I'm just repeating. I'm just repeating what you're saying. What else? How about the way in which we raise our children? If everybody just raised their children like I raise my boys, the world would be a terrible place. Okay? Okay? No, but that's a big one. We look at people and we're like, the way they raise their kids, they're either overprotective or too loose and free and lax in the way in which they do things. the what we expose our children to as parents, and we get together and we share stories, and you can just tell the parents are cringing. I want to end this talk because you're scaring me. Your children are going to hell. Okay? What else? Courtship versus dating. Yeah. Sex outside of marriage. Okay? So these are some big hot button topics. Yes, some of them. No, some of them. But these are some disputable matters that we get so lost in, right? Don't lie to me. You guys get lost in these just like I get lost in these. And what happens is we start looking at each other in a way that God never intended us to look at one another in these disputable matters, right? We start fighting about all these things. And there are things within Scripture, can I tell you, that are not disputable. Do you understand that? There are things that if you take away from Scripture and you take away from the story of God, you take away from the story of Jesus, and the whole thing is just null and void that you cannot remove. You cannot take those things out. Biggies. Those are actually listed on our website about our beliefs, about salvation, about outside of those things, you know, even as your leaders, as elders of the church, as people that lead this church body, we can get lost in disputable matters. Did you know that? And those meetings are fun. Because I like to dispute. Lauren loves to dispute. Rich loves to dispute. But there's times where we find ourselves on both sides of this argument, right? I was born here and I'll die here, and I'm going to camp out on this argument, this disputable matter, even though it has nothing to do with salvation, even though it has nothing to do with loving you, even though it has nothing to do with changing the world, as Jesus asked us to change the world. We get caught up in these things, and therefore it affects our love for one another. And these convictions, whether you fall on one side or the other, how about drinking? Can I, as your pastor, belly up to a bar in Laramie, Wyoming? I'll tell you yes, because I do, okay? I do that because I enjoy a drink, okay? I have never drank for effect. I've always drank for taste. So usually it's top shelf, Lord Calvert. For those of you know that was my grandfather's whiskey of choice. It's not good at all. Don't go drink it. But drinking is a disputable matter. And I remember when I started here at Whitewater, there was a group of awesome people that managed us. They were called the management team. And the management team had a huge disputable matter over drinking and whether I could drink publicly or drink even with Whitewater people. And it came down to, we wished you wouldn't. And I think, I don't remember if I actually addressed them directly or if it was just coming down through the church planner at the time, Chad, and I said, well, that's one of the most hypocritical things I've ever seen or heard. You can drink in your home privately, but don't drink out with other people because we don't want them to know you drink, right? Which didn't make any sense because I never saw that represented in Scripture. But yet, another disputable matter. But so that instance colors my view of the management team at the time, and I remember having bitter feelings, and I remember going to other people and trying to get other people on my side that agreed with drinking is okay for Jesus lovers to drink. Now, what does Scripture say about getting drunk? Oh, you do know this one. Okay. So when I see you at the Cowboy, okay, hey, remember what Jesus said about that? That'll be a fun conversation, right? FYI, I never go to the Cowboy, okay? It's a little too awesome for me. But you have these disputable matters. And so my views and opinions on certain people started getting harsh and critical and well, they just don't know. I do have the freedom in Christ to drink and enjoy alcohol. Not to excess, not to drunkenness, but I do have that, and I don't understand why they don't agree with me. And instead of bringing the kingdom, instead of focusing on that portion of it, we get lost in the weeds. We get lost in disputable matters. Disputable matters that might be very near and dear to our heart, how we parent. Whether we've been sprinkled as a baby and think that's good enough, or whether we've been dunked in a horse tank, but if your leg is sticking out, we have to redo it because, you know. And we get lost in the weeds. We get lost in these things that just don't matter, that don't make any sense. But what's beautiful is Paul, the way he unpacks this is, you know what, these things are important to people. To new to the faith people and old to the faith people, and we're not supposed to look down on the new to the faith people. We're not supposed to get all upset about that. We're not supposed to worry about that. And the new to the faith people aren't supposed to judge the old faith people because they've found some freedoms maybe that the new to faith people haven't figured out yet, haven't understood yet, haven't been told by God that it's okay. I love guitars. Okay, I love anything with six strings on it. If you have five strings, that's a banjo, that's okay too, I guess. All right, let's just say I love anything with strings. I find the way they're crafted to be very sexually appealing, weird. Let's just say they're sexy. Okay, I find them very appealing to the eye, the way they're painted, the way they're chromed out. It's like a car. Any car people here? Motorcycle people here? Come on. Larry, raise your hand, dude. You ride. Don't back out on me now. But those things, the way they're crafted, they catch my eye. I'm like, oh, man, that's hot. I use that word a lot. That's hot. That's hot. Got to have that. That's hot. And so there has been a period of my life, a long period of my life, where I would buy and sell guitar gear like crazy. And what that did was if you bought low enough and you sold high enough, you started making income off these guitars. And you started making a great living, and you started making awesome guitar purchases, which meant your guitars just kept getting greater and greater, usually just in cost. I don't know as the playability ever was, but the cost of these things got greater and greater. And I remember this is the way I ran just forever in my life. And it was okay. You know, I used these were tools for my worship, I guess, to help out other people with worship, to play on bands, to be on, you know, to do those things. And it got to a point where God came and checked me just a few years ago, and it was a crazy thing. He broke me of this guitar buying, this guitar lust, this lust that I had for this particular area of my life. And he said, man, this isn't right for you. This isn't right for you because every time that you benefit off of someone else, they lose out. And the only reason you want to benefit, the only reason you want to do these things, and he starts uncovering my heart, and I just kept looking away. God, don't show me that. Don't show me that. And the only reason you're doing it is so you can get a pat on the back by the music community and get the attaboys and the props for the gear that you have. You like it when you roll in with road cases that hold your gear, and they think, man, that guy's got to be something. He has traveling gear. He must tour. Oh man, what's in that guitar case? I know what that guitar case is, but I want to know what's in it. It's got to be something pretty special. And I got my kicks from those great music strokes from these people. Had nothing to do with my playability. If they sat and listened to me play, they said, why did you buy that expensive of a guitar when you play like that? So God breaks me of this what I would look at as a disputable matter, but for one time in my life, it was a good thing for me. It was an okay thing for me. God allowed this, and it's probably because I wasn't asking God anything about it, right? It probably was because I was just like, I don't have anything to say to God about this. This is my own thing. This is my baby. And it became acceptable in the arenas that I was in, even in church, even in the worship circuit. It was okay for these things to happen. You'd still get the attaboys there. And then there came a time when God broke me of this and showed me my true heart behind these things, and then it wasn't okay for me anymore. And that hurt. That didn't make any sense to me. It made a lot of sense to me. I'm not going to lie. It made perfect sense to me. And he said, Adam, this is something that you're not going to engage in anymore. This is something that you're actually going to grow up in this area, in your world, and you're going to see me rightly in this. And you're going to see the harm that you're doing to yourself, and you're going to see the harm that others are experiencing, not directly but indirectly, and you're going to see this for what it is, and you're going to change in that area. And so some of these stories that we have, these disputable matter stories, whether I can go drink publicly or not, whether you can go drink publicly or not, your conviction on that matter from God is what matters most. Okay? And in the meantime, us as a community, it's our goal, it's our job to play nice and not get hung up on those things. You know that? It's kind of hard, isn't it? Because usually we got a lot to say about everything, right? If you want to know what you're doing wrong, just come ask me. We usually have a lot of things to say to anybody about all of this stuff. But if it comes from God and it's on your conscience and God says to you, this isn't okay for you. But God, why is it okay for that other person? That's not for you. That's not for you to ask. That's not for you to speak to. You just say, yes, God. And it's going to hurt. Yeah. I'd love to just buy a ton more guitars. I'd love to just go spend my money on all of that stuff again. I have friends that are still doing that. Friends that I kind of, I don't know, they were my proteges and I taught them the art of screwing people, basically, out of their gear. And so they're constantly buying gear and I still get the pictures and I still get the comments and I still get the, hey, look what I bought, look what I bought, look what I bought. And I start salivating and it's not okay for me, but it's okay for them. God's given them that freedom. God's given them that okay, maybe, if they've asked him about it, right? But if your conscience is telling you so heavily not to do things and engage in certain things that other people are doing that are okay, that are a disputable matter, you need to listen to that, okay? You people with all of your freedom that you've experienced within Jesus, that you've experienced and you've come to a place and you've wrestled through a lot of these issues already and you see some of these people young in the faith coming up and you're sitting there just talking to them about your experience, about how great it is and how free it is and how God just loves you so much. He allows you to do this, 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 and this. Don't lord that over people, okay? That's damaging people. God will catch up with that if that is for them, okay? God will catch that up within their own spirit as they're leaning into him. That's for him and them. But if it's on your conscience, don't do this, or it's okay to do this, and it doesn't go against Scripture, the hard do's, the hard don'ts, don't get hung up with one another. I don't know how else to say it. I'm a terrible counselor. Just stop doing the thing that's hurting you. And you laugh. Is there truth to that statement, though? Come on. But don't stop there. Don't just stop doing the things that are hurting you. Stop doing the things that are hurting others and getting in these disputes of these frivolous things that don't matter at all. These matters of dispute. But that's going to take us taking our cues from Jesus, okay? That's the hard heart work today, is can you take your cues from Jesus that you can be on that? That you can live in such a way that you know that where you're at today is where Jesus wants you to be. Can you answer that question today? I'm guessing some of you are saying yes. I'm guessing some of you are saying no. And that's the part that we have to get to in these disputable matters. Are you where God says you should be? Are you who God says you should be? Are you doing what God has asked you to do? Are you not doing the things that God has called you out of or calling you out of? Let your conscience speak to that right now. I believe the conscience is Holy Spirit. You know? Theologians, you can argue with me about that later if you want. Okay. But we need to answer those questions. So we're going to spend some time in prayer. I can talk to you all day long, and until you hear it from God, it ain't going to make a difference. So let's go to God. Let's ask God. Are we where we should be? And usually, if you're like me, I sinned for a long time with just one awesome sin, and that was pornography. You know, that was my thing. I kept going back to it. And every time I'd sit in an audience like this, I would always feel guilty. It didn't matter what the pastor could be getting up talking about money or giving, and I'd be like, oh, my pornography. It had nothing to do with giving. It had everything to do with where God was at with me and where I was at with God. Listen to that heart piece that you know where you're in wrong being with God and when He speaks. Okay? And ask what you can be doing about it. And then take it further. Take it with your these disputable matters with others that you've had. Okay? Because you probably had them just today even. Or you're going to have them with people at work, or you're going to have them with people in your life at some point that challenge what Scripture says, that challenge your life within that Scripture. And say, God, make me a man or a woman of peace in these matters. Let me call out the things that are only important to you. Let me only speak what you give me to speak to people. And let me just stay silent on the things that don't matter. So let's take these things to God in prayer right now. And then we're going to be done. And then you guys can go eat lunch.
God, I love you, and I love the freedom that you give us. God, and I also love the restrictions that you give us from time to time. God, the things that aren't good for us, the things that aren't beneficial for us, but they may very well be for other people. God, help us not be envious of these things. As we see other people with other freedoms that we don't have, help us not be envious, God. Help us not be contentious with those people. But God, help us see them as those that were meant to house the fullness of your Son, Jesus, just like we were. And help us to operate out of that. Help us to speak out of that. Help us to love out of that. God, for those of us that have found the beautiful freedoms within you, thank you. Thank you for those freedoms, just as we thank you for the things that you've spoken to that are not ours to claim, but the things, thank you for the freedoms, as well as the checks. God, may we speak from your heart when we speak about our world and our lives and our freedoms, as not to be misunderstood, as not to mow other people over that don't have the same freedoms as we do. God, may we speak only your words of life and of truth. May we only speak what you give us to speak. God, as we read the rest of the words of Paul, in the same way, some think that one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced whatever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor him. God, those who eat any kind of food, to do so to honor the Lord. Since they give thanks to God before eating, God, may we get to that point that whatever we do, whatever we say, whoever we are, is to honor you. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. Impress upon our hearts, God, that we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves, but it's to honor you. God, may we never condemn another believer. May we never look down on another believer on disputable matters. God, may we all understand that we stand before you at the end, each of us just accountable to who we are and where we are, whether in right being or wrong being with you. God, all of our knees will bend to you. Our tongues will declare our allegiance to you. And we'll all give that personal account as to whether we listened to the spirit that resides within us, to the freedoms that you've given us, or to the freedoms, things that you may have taken away. God, in the end, it all comes back to you. May we see one another fully. May we love one another fully. May we run in the things that you've given us. May we be okay with the things you've taken away. May we love this community and the community around us. And that we will ever persistently change, move the world two steps closer to Jesus. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen.